Back to the studio from the other side of the river, coming in from the West Bedridge Chamber, Anna Johnson. Anna, welcome back. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well. We've got a lot of ground to cover, but before we get to any of it, this is your second day in a row up here. You stopped by yesterday to hang out for a little bit, got to meet the governor. I was in and out of the studio a lot through that, and I'm the only person in the building to get my picture with him. Anyway, I'm not bitter. Anyway, your immediate takes on Jeff Landry as he takes office a week ago.
Oh, goodness. I am excited. I think that he is coming in with his sleeves rolled up, ready to work.
Mm-hmm.
I think that with the Republican majority in both the Senate and the House, I think you're going to see things move a lot quicker this year. Some of those projects that I feel like have kind of been sidelined because of whatever issues the governor may have had with them, I think you're going to see those kind of make it to the finish line. So I'm excited. I think he brings a new energy. We're excited to work with him. I've got to sit down with his team, and obviously we sat down with him in August when we had our small business summit. And so he's got some robust ideas that I think we're going to see come to fruition.
I remember the small business summit. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lots of drama.
There was a little bit, to be sure. We've got a lot to talk about on the West Side as there's been turnover, really, when it comes to parish presidents over there. Y'all got some new folks to get to know.
We do. So we had a lot of leadership changes this year. So Pee-wee retired after 20 years, and he's been succeeded by Jason Manola. So Jason is actually or was the chief financial officer for the parish for, I think, 17 years. So he and Pee-wee have worked together almost Pee-wee's entire tenure with the parish. And what I like about Jason is he comes from an accounting background. So he is like very numbers focused, very bottom line. And I think you're going to see him just kind of like cut a lot of things out and help our parish stay healthy financially. So
is there a lot to be cut out over in West Baton Rouge?
I don't know. I mean, we got a lot coming in, so.
Why? But see, and that's the thing, though, is when you're at a time for growth, this is where bloat gets into budgets, and then it gets embedded before anybody can do anything right about it. And then you're looking back 20 years later saying, what did we cut? And it's like, no, we're reliant upon all this, or at least the people within that department are reliant upon it. So,
yeah
if you're going to have someone who's coming in with a belt already tightened, now would be the time.
Oh, yeah. And then Iberville's got a new parish president. So Mitch was actually ousted by Chris Daigle, who's a small business owner in Iberville Parish, and he was on their school board as well. And so what I like is when they were both elected, they both reached out to me, and they're like, we're ready to work on small business. We love what you guys are doing with small business. And, you know, we're ready to kind of, you know, we give a lot of attention to industry, but small business is kind of the hub that keeps West Baton Rouge together. And Chris Daigle's been very cordial. He's reached across the aisle several times, especially when he was elected. And he said, look, we want to work with you. I mean, there's not 6 degrees of separation between us that we can't work on projects together. And so he really kind of wants to grow that small business hub in Iberville and kind of tag team what we're doing in West Baton Rouge. And Jason's been the same way. He's, you know, ready to like get out there, meet all the business owners. He's already very well known in the parish and very respected. And so I think we're kind of at a time where we're seeing some turnover in small business just because of inflation and other things that kind of agitate that. And so I think this year you're going to see a boom in small business too. So
the relationship between West Baton Rouge Parish and Iberville Parish, it can get lost on the side of the river sometimes because it is so intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just... Highway 1 itself is like you don't know when you've crossed over from one to the other or coming back the other way. It's like, wait, I just passed that racetrack. Am I now in Iberville all of a sudden? Like, So having both of them start at the same time, I feel like this is going to be the fact that they're both starting. One's not already embedded in their power and the way they want to do things. And I'm not using the word power in a bad way, but embedded in the way they do things, having built and established relationships, they come in at the same time and build together.
Right. They have both worked really well with their councils, their respective councils, and they've solicited ideas and input, and they want community buy-in. So, I mean, those are all staples of a good leader anyway. So I don't see any issues in the parish just growing in the next 4 years, I see both of these gentlemen getting reelected too. So,
got to hit you with one by surprise here, real quick, because we weren't planning on talking about this, but when you bring up parish leadership, this topic has to come up.
It does.
When we look at the possibility of a new Mississippi River bridge, which I'm back to calling it a possibility, not a definite anymore, but when you look at the possibility of a new bridge, all three locations were in Iberville. Mm-hmm. Mitch goes away as Iberville Parish President. And the first story you read about it is a bunch of people are complaining about cypress trees being knocked down at one of them. Mm-hmm. Is this now in limbo again?
I feel like this is going to be in limbo the rest of our lives. So we met with DOTD at the end of the year, and for two big reasons. One, we've secured funding for a lot of the infrastructure projects in West Baton Rouge, like 415 Connector and Intercoastal and things like that. And so we wanted to make sure with the new leadership coming in that we weren't going to see those funds disappeared, because you have two parish presidents that have literally worked 20 years on securing some of this and getting some of these projects to the finish line. And so, you know, that was the first question on everybody's mind is like, oh my gosh, now that they're leaving, what's going to happen? And DOTD kind of reassured us and said, no, that money's not going anywhere. We've kind of earmarked it. And then the rub was, okay, new bridge. We got to talk about the new bridge. So I will say the public hearings on this were a little contentious. There was a pathway in West Baton Rouge that seemed to be the one that everybody wanted. However, it went to Iberville. Mm-hmm. And so those meetings, we've been in some of those meetings with the consultants. A lot of those have been closed door for obvious reasons. I mean, they do have to do their own studies and go through all the phases. And a lot of that we just get secondhand. So after they complete all of their studies and come to find whatever conclusions they may find about why Iberville's a better spot, then that's what we do. So, I mean, look, if the bridge is going to be in Iberville, it's going to be in Iberville. We're going to work with them either way. If it's going to be in West Baton Rouge, it's going to be in West Baton Rouge. I don't really know. I wish I could give you an answer. This is the question I get asked the most, and I don't know. You guys probably know before me. I mean, we sit in the meetings, and a lot of it's just redundant. It's a lot of rhetoric, and they're telling us the same things. And I know that a lot of this is getting pushed back because of, like, 415 Connector, and then you've got the I-10 construction that's coming. And so there are a lot of things in the pipeline that I think are holding this up. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, like, with new leadership coming in, you want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So is this still the best route? Is this still the direction that we want to go in, literally and figuratively? Right. So I think they may take a step back. I think you're going to see a lot of more public meetings this year, at least from what DOTD's told us. I think they want to take a few steps back after these public hearings and address some of the concerns and some of the themes that seem to be reoccurring from the public. So,
if they take a step back, I want to be there when Rick Ward finds out about that step back.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that will be an explosion of rage, and he will be beyond apoplectic.
So when he was on your show Wednesday, mm-hmm. I actually texted him, and I was like, are you sure you don't want to come back to the legislature? We would love to have you. I mean, he has been such a champion for these projects, and I love he's very well-respected, and it's because he has that kind of aura to work with Republicans and Democrats. Like, he's very level-headed.
Right.
He
gets things done.
He does.
And he got it done on the legislative level. And then to his credit, former Iberville Parish President Mitch Russo I don't think I'm speaking out of turn if I say he can be a bully if he wants to. He can be. Not in a bad way. Right. But when you've got to move something forward, I'll put it a better way, and this is relevant. He can Nick Saban it.
He can. And I will say, like, look, I love people that rule with an iron fist. I am very much, when the chamber hired me, I said, look, I am very outspoken. And if you guys don't like that, I'm not the person for you. So I understand Mitch and his governing style. And he really loved the parish. He did. So mm-hmm. everything he did was for the parish. I will say that he really loved the parish.
Yeah, he takes on the role more less of a parish president, more of a general. That's a nicer way for me to say bullying, because it's not bullying. I'm stumbling over my description here, but it's you take charge.
You're stern.
Yes.
You're very stern.
So with so much turnover on so many different levels, And, you know, having lived in Baton Rouge for as long as I have, I can't help but think that, oh, here's something else that just like the loop, we're never going to see.
I think we will see a new bridge. I don't anticipate that happening anytime soon, if I'm being completely honest. And I'm okay with that because I think that if we're going to do it, we got to do it right. So however, whatever span of time that that is, like, let's take the time to do it. Like, let's get it right the first time because I don't want to hear this anymore. I had to unplug the phone in my office. Like, y'all, I really don't know. But when I know, you will know. So
we got 4 minutes left. Let's pivot to schools real quick.
Yeah.
What's the latest? How are things stacking up in 24?
So after the information was released last year from Board of Education, West Baton Rouge schools actually went up a grade. So they were a C and we got promoted to a B. So excellent work there. I think that's been just the stream of leadership that you've seen from Wes Watts. Now to Chandler Smith and then David Corona in the interim. I mean, you couldn't have asked for three better leaders when it comes to making changes in schools and getting these kids on the right path. And then we broke ground on the new career academy that's being built right next to Port Allen High School.
Mm-hmm.
So right now those students are being bused to BRCC, which is one of our industry, not industry partners, one of our partners. And then you have our industry partners like Placid and Dow, Shell, like ABC, all of these people that are coming in and they're teaching these kids. And so right now it's juniors and seniors and they can do dual enrollment into the career academy so that whenever they graduate, they can go straight into the workforce or, you know, they've already got those 2 years of college credits and they can right. go straight into college. And so I am so, so proud of our schools. Like, I really feel like they're taking a step in the right direction in terms of getting these kids prepared for the real world. And so I think a lot of other parishes are looking at us to see how we're doing this. What is the blueprint?
Right.
You know, keep us posted on progress.
With just 2 minutes to go in the segment, let's talk with West Baton Rouge Chamber about actual business.
Yeah.
What should we be on the lookout for in 2024?
Okay, so we have our State of the Parish coming up at the end of this month. So Jason Manola is going to give his brief 2023 summary and then kind of his vision for 2024. We also have Will Green from Lobby. So we're throwing him right into the mix of things and he's going to give us kind of a statewide chamber update and then what Lobby's goals are for the years. And then we'll probably hear a little bit of the LA 23 progress. We have Jason DeQueer with Advantis
coming fantastic. In.
He's going to, yeah, he came back by popular demand after Small Business Summit. And so he's going to give a brief legislative update and kind of a tax where we are with taxes because, you know, our businesses are like, hey, we want to know more about this. And so he's going to give a brief update on that. And then obviously I'll just kind of give my overview of everything. So
you say end of this month. When is it?
It'll be Tuesday, January 30th at the Addis Community Center. If you'd like to attend, you can go to wbrchamber.org and click on the events tab.
At the Annis Community Center. I'll be there.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Good deal. She is Anna Johnson with the West Baton Rouge Chamber. We didn't even get around to the full-on recap of 2023.
I know.
But you know what? You know you're always welcome back. The door's always open over here. So we will talk to you in very short order, very soon. Anna Johnson with the West Baton Rouge Chamber. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're